This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
It's 11:30. Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Shift change, line change, whatever you want to call it. I'm Jim Heuer. We sent Charlie Marlowe out. We should have told him to pick up a fruit basket to welcome the guys back at the airport.
National Donut Day. Pick up some donuts.
There you go. Pick up a dozen donuts from Schnucks. Charlie, bring them for the Blues, and everybody will be happy. He's headed out to the airport. Blues winners last night. That's the talk of the town, no doubt about it. As we welcome you back, we've got a lot of things to get to before actually – Plowsy's going to leave at noon. Brian, you and I are here till 2.
2 o'clock.
590 Baseball with Bob Ramsey beginning at 1. Baseball conversation with Cards at Cubs, and there's that to discuss. Our starting five later during that show will be our favorite five Cardinal draft picks, and you can play along later on in the 1 o'clock hour. At 12:30, we're going to have Jeremy Allenbaugh, the vice president and general manager of St. Louis FC, with us. They are playing MLS's Chicago Fire on Tuesday. There's been a venue change for that game, so if you got tickets, we'll tell you about that at 12:30 because of some flooding out at the soccer park. Also at noon, when we switch over to the midday grind, we're going to have some questions for you to participate in terms of this Blues season. We're going to revisit some moments, and you tell us which was your either most important or your favorite moment. There's a lot of them to go through, and we'll have that in the noon hour. But we do have some text on the text line to get to. People are just – some are fun. Some are mad at people. I mean, it was a missed call, no doubt. But for any Boston fan to simply imply the conspiracy against Boston is laughable. Do they recall Bill Belichick taping the Rams practice before the Super Bowl? Give me a freaking break. Agreed, 100%. Nobody is feeling sorry for the Boston Bruins. Okay, here's one for you, Plowsy. How many Plowsies does it take to make a big Zdeno Chara?
A lot.
Four, oh, I think five. A lot. Yeah, yeah, I think two of me height-wise, and then probably three or four of me width-wise.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Take out the bone structure there and do the fat, I think would be just something similar to
smudge
that.
Smudge it all together, and you got Zdeno Chara.
I mean, it would be really terrifying if he's 50%, you know, if he was 50% or not, whatever he was health-wise during the game. He's a scary dude. 42 or not, I mean, he can get you in some vulnerable positions on the boards, and that would be a tough task for me. I think I would probably have a season-ending injury the first shift. If not, definitely the second shift.
Look, I applaud him for going out and doing what he did. I mean, that was pretty phenomenal. Just, you can't imagine what the pain threshold was and whatever he had to take to try and numb some of that pain. But he got beat up a little bit, and he turned the puck over a few times, and he wasn't super Zdeno. His minutes were down, and because of that, they played the seven defensemen. In fact, Kempfer was the extra D-man who touched the puck, I think, in the third period. And as he touched the puck, I went, I don't think I heard his name all night. It was already the third period. That was kind of put a little bit in perspective on what was going on with the Boston Bruins. I mean, they dominated the game early. They didn't get the goal that they needed to take charge, and the Blues withstood that, and they won the contest. That's how I saw that game. Boston, also from the 314, keeps talking about the Blues being dirty. Marchand is the dirtiest player in the NHL. Six suspensions for a total of 19 games. It's the pot calling the kettle black. Yeah, I mean, here's another thing nobody mentioned. Marchand took out the legs of Tarasenko last night in the second period. That was kind of a dirty play. I mean, that could be considered suspensionable, but Boston, come on. You weren't good enough.
And that's what it comes down to, right?
You know,
I understand you want to make that comparison or make the connection that the Blues scored 2-0. Shortly thereafter, probably 2-3 minutes afterwards, you score your first goal, become 2-1. You're anticipating a penalty. But you can't assume a goal being scored on that ensuing penalty if the tripping is called, which it probably should have been. But furthermore, the Blues, and it was kind of weird, for a time after it was 2-0, they took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit. They weren't quite as aggressive, and that did lead to Boston having more scoring opportunities. I feel like even if that penalty is called, I still think the Blues win that game because they were controlling it before they scored that second goal.
Yeah, there's look, it was a one-goal game, and they scored later on, but it, not everything happens the same exact way.
It's not linear, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way, but you're right. The Blues took their foot off the pedal just enough. That goal that they scored gave them a little bit of life. I'll be honest, I didn't like that goal from Binnington. I was like, that's one I think he should have stopped. I think he felt that way too as he was sliding across. He just missed it. But the Blues held on, and I'll go back to something you said earlier in the show. Gunnarsson's got to get a lot more credit for saving the bacon, so to speak, because he got in behind Binnington and slapped the puck out before Burns could push it in, and that would have been the game-time goal. And if that happens, I don't know what happens after that. I really don't. I mean, it was really that crazy. Also from the text line, I hope the Blues fans would take baby rattles to Game 6 and toss them into the Bruins bench. Or
that's
fans
funny.
Sitting directly behind the Bruins bench take baby rattles and shake them at Cassidy.
We had one fan dress up as the woman behind the Dallas Stars or the Blues bench in Dallas. That very...
Yes, I remember that.
Nicely dressed woman. So a male dressed up as her. Is someone going to dress up with like a binky in their mouth or something in a baby bonnet as Cassidy behind the Bruins bench?
It could happen. Maybe the Blues...
You could go a little deeper, but I won't.
Yeah, you're right. That's interesting. Yes, it was a penalty also from the 3-1-4 on Bozak, but there was a penalty also for embellishment. It's possible the referee just didn't want to call two penalties there. I've watched it a couple times.
This is where it becomes like a Zapruder film.
Yeah.
Analysis. Because it's all slowed down.
Yes. When you see it in slow motion, you do see an exaggerated kick from the other leg on the play from Achari, but it was a trip. Plain and simple. It was a trip. So it should have been called. It wasn't. Embellishment? You could say maybe that's why they didn't get the call. Referee said, you know what? You were tripping, but I thought you embellished. I'm not saying that is the case. So I just let it go and didn't want to take players off the ice, wanted to continue for it to be 5-on-5. I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways to look at how that played itself out. The bottom line is the St. Louis Blues won the game. They're all set up for a clincher. I mean, I had multiple texts going last night with family members, and they're all in awe in the reality of it being, hey, all we need is one game. We're one game away. It's never, ever, ever happened in the history of the St. Louis Blues. The reality is the Stanley Cup will be in St. Louis on Sunday night with a chance to be given away. There have been so many, and there's so many hockey fans listening to us right now, and I'll include myself. You have watched umpteen different teams and franchises lift the Stanley Cup if you watch the final, and you go, I don't know if I'll ever get to see that. I don't know if I'll see a Blue with a beard, with a C on his chest, receiving the cup from the commissioner, and it'll still be Bettman, by the way, which brings me to a text. And I know Cam Jansen mentioned this. What if Blues fans cheer Gary Bettman, by the way, if he comes on the ice and instead of booing him like everyone else does? I don't know if I'm all on board with that yet, but that would be interesting.
That would be the only atmosphere with a cup celebration for the Blues that maybe Stan Kroenke would actually maybe get a clap. Nobody is going to be booing anybody after the horn hits zero and you got the Blues hoisting the cup. I don't think anything can happen like that.
The reality is, there's a real chance that you will see Alex Pietrangelo lifting the cup first. And that's when it'll hit me. I'll tell you what really hit me that this whole process is real is the team photo with the Clarence Campbell cup. And I saw that team photo the next day and I went, I've never seen a Blues team in any kind of photo like that.
I know.
And I went, wow, this is real. And it kind of hits you. And I know there's a lot of Blues fans that are going to be sitting around later today, all day Saturday, and early on the day on Sunday, just they can't sit still. I was getting texts from other people yesterday. Still got 2 hours. Got an hour and a half. Still 45 minutes. I mean, it was like they're just counting it down. I'm like, quit texting me and reminding me. So, I mean, it's going to be a pretty magical moment.
You want to do five for the guys?
Let's do it.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
I bring it up somewhat abruptly because this is one of the topics. Yes. You're a Blues fan. You're at the Enterprise Center. Game's over. Blues win. No matter what the score is, they are Stanley Cup champions. I know it's tradition, but Gary Bettman has the mic. Center ice. Chalice is right next to him. You don't boo Bettman then, do you? There's no room for booing after your team brings home the cup.
Yep. Every other city has. It may be just, hey, we're happy. I don't care who you bring out. Just bring out the cup and we're happy. I mean, you could bring out the former mayor or former governor who got ousted, and they might cheer him if he brought out the Stanley Cup. You could bring out Steve Stanger. They might cheer him if he brought out the Stanley. It might not matter who you bring out. It's just euphoria. It's, hey, this is happening. Just give me the cup and let's move on.
All right, you are Boston Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy. You can cry and whine and shake your rattle and pound the table, throw whatever tantrum you want post-game about the officiating and how Berube's vernacular following Game 3 somehow changed the outcomes of the following two games, or at least altered the way they were called. But when it comes down to it, plain and simple, the reason why you're trailing 3-2 in this series and are facing elimination on Sunday night is because your best players have not been your best players.
It is so true. The, quote, perfection line has been a non-factor.
Tuukka Rask has been kind of okay. Yep. Not the Rask you had against Carolina or Columbus.
And I go back to the Perron goal last night. It was not a good goal to be given up by your goalie. That should have not gone in the way it went in. If he puts a shot on goal and he beats some gloves side, I say, okay. But he was throwing a pass across the net and it went in off the pad of Tuukka Rask. So, yeah, you're 100% right there. And the perfection line has been outdone. That's a huge, huge storyline for the Boston Bruins right now. You can talk about Char. You can talk about the penalties, like you said. But they were definitely expecting, especially Pasternak. I was worried about him last night getting space. He was a non-factor last night in the game. He still is a guy who, in this game on Sunday, you get him space, he can beat you all by himself, but he's not been a factor. Let's keep him quiet.
You are Cardinal catcher Yadier Molina.
Ooh.
You're on the IL. It's a thumb. You're probably out a little bit longer than what the 10-day or 10 or 15-day IL stipulates. Probably two more weeks. You look at the schedule. Yeah, sure, it's a series against the Cubs. Probably one you'd like to win. But God, the Blues are playing Sunday night. You become kind of a cult fan for the Blues over the last couple months hanging out at the Enterprise Center. You'd rather be there than Wrigley Field on Sunday night. That's some of the motivating factor behind you staying in St. Louis this weekend.
I might buy into this a little bit. I kind of like that idea. Hey, remember the Blues win the series against Dallas? The next day, the Cardinals have that day game against the Kansas City Royals.
Didn't really show up.
And were awful, didn't show up. My theory was they're out partying with the St. Louis Blues the night before, celebrating a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Final. Yadier Molina probably was part of that. Somehow, some way, no one will ever want to admit it, but they all know where each other are going to be after a night like that. And you're right. If I'm Molina, I'm going, yeah, it's Cubs. I can't play anyway. I'm going to take this in and enjoy it. And I guarantee you, by the way, ESPN is kicking themselves right now going, I got Cards Cubs on Sunday night, and no one in St. Louis will watch.
That's the next one.
Oh,
you are ESPN.
Okay.
You're programming. You decide who gets to play on what night. Sunday Night Baseball is your marquee baseball game of the week. That's, you want to feature the best series. So in theory, on paper, yes, Cardinals Cubs. Probably the best matchup in a weekend that doesn't feature many good matchups.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, You know, Sunday night, the Dodgers are playing the Giants, and it's Walker Buehler and Madison Bumgarner.
Ooh.
Not a terrible matchup. Any chance you could just switch?
It's probably too late, but I if I was them, I would have. Yeah.
Would anyone blame you if you did?
I might have thought that one a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I think we're going to go with Dodgers and Giants. I don't care what else happens. The Blues are still alive. Yeah, they didn't think that went through. If I'm a fan, I don't even know if I will have like a smartphone or a tablet even going to the Cardinal game on Sunday. It's all Blues for me. So what? I'll find out about it the next
day. I'll probably monitor it occasionally, but this is the
put it this way. If we could talk about it during 590 Baseball. If there's a brawl between the Cards and Cubs on Sunday night, does anyone see it?
No.
Okay.
Also, the good news is it is Kyle Hendricks going Sunday night. So if it's anything like the last time he faced the Cardinals, it'll be like a two-hour game.
Yeah, it'll be done.
So even if you are really into the Cardinal game, that might end before the Blues game.
That is true.
Five for the guys, five for Jim here on 5-9 of the Fan, brought to you by Greenville University, number 5, the last one. Mm-hmm. Jim, since we won't be on the air Saturday or Sunday leading up to Game 6, give me your pick to click. Who needs to show up on Sunday night to close it out at home?
I think it's going to come from the defense. It's going to be one of those guys picking up a goal. It might be like Petro. It might be his night to pick up a puck from the point.
Oh, he almost did last night.
He did. Oof. I mean, that was a great play. It was a Torrey Krug that came flying through.
He stalled perfectly and created that empty net.
Yes. It might be like it's going to come from the point. It might be Petro, I think. And he has had some really good moments. He's had some moments where you're spinning your head going, what is he doing out there? He's turning the puck over. But I think it might be Petro. It might be the captain. I really don't have another reason for it other than he's due. I mean, there has been a lot of due factor throughout this run, guys. I mean, early on it was Schwartz, and you're going, well, Tarasenko hasn't done a darn thing. Then he gets hot because he's due. Braden Schenn, hot because he's due. Now we got O'Reilly, hot as can be right now. It's a two-factor for Petro, maybe.
All right, that's 5 for the guys, brought to you by Greenville University. I want to mention, it's June. We have a McBride Homes, and they are having their Summer Dream Kitchen and Bath sales event. If you buy a McBride Home in the month of June, you will receive $2,000 up to $10,000 to spend towards a luxury kitchen or bath. McBride Homes has over 40 communities throughout the Metro St. Louis area and over 100 inventory homes ready for a quicker move-in. Homes to fit every lifestyle and design with you in mind. McBride's Kitchen Dream Kitchen and Bath sales event is for June only. Visit McBrideHomes.com for additional details.
It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. We're going to take a short time out. We come back. We'll wrap up. We've got a lot more text to get to, and then we'll get into the question for you when we start the midday grind. Your favorite point of this run thus far, what is that? We'll go through that in the when we start the midday grind. It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Back to wrap up after this.
This is Jim Hayes. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.